to then refer to you properly during the deliberations. My name is Fred Gona. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources. On my immediate right, Madam, it's your turn to introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Nomvula Frida Matibela, member of Energy, as well as Mineral Resources. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Christopher Khurolo. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Rose Sonto, a member of the Mineral Resources Committee.
I'm Faith Bikani, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Eric Murray, also member of the Mineral Resources Committee.
Ian Ollis, I'm the DA spokesperson on Labour in the Labour Committee.
I'm Ule Lwatinto, member of Mineral Resources Committee.
Morning, my name is George Buinamo. I'm a deputy spokesperson on Labour for Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, my name is Cindy Wemjobo.
Good morning, my name is Lindy Wemjobo, member of this committee.
Good morning, I'm Dixon Mkhono, Department of Labour.
Goedemorgen, my name is Pieter Groenewald. I'm not a member of the Labour Portfolio Committee. I'm a member of Parliament. Actually, I'm the chief spokesperson for police. There are a couple of people I would like to see behind bars. That's why I am here this morning. I'm not a member of Labour or anything like that. But there is a rule that any member of Parliament can attend any Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
I'm Charlie, and I'm full of Balamun Zimbabwe Eboshi.
Right, let's hear from you, madam, at the back.
My name's Sarah from the best stage, and I work for Bloomberg as a reporter.
We didn't hear?
As a reporter, my name's Lauren from the best stage.
Next door, all of us, please. Press your mic there.
My name is Yashira Rampersad. I work for SAPA, a reporter.
Londi Utelezi from Business Report.
Madam in front.
Marianne Merton, Independent Newspaper.
I'm Liesl Steenkamp from Beeld Newspaper.
Clinton Surf, E-News Channel.
Let's move this side. Madam, oh yeah, next to me first, on my immediate left.
Good morning, my name is Noli Tandaskaka. I'm the committee secretary, I think.
I'm Dagozo Ngwabe from the Department of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, I'm David Msiza. I'm from the Department of Mineral Resources.
My name is Peggy Madonna from the Department of Labour.
Good morning, my name is Wisa Mangu. I'm the PLO in the Ministry of Mineral Resources.
Morning, Sam Rotaba, Department of Labour.
Morning, Gatulim Pasha, Department of Labour.
Morning, my name is Nick Arnold from Solidarity Trade Union.
Morning, my name is Gideon Duplessis from Solidarity.
Morning, my name is Zekaya Bastille from Department of Labour.
Good morning, my name is Andile Makapela from Department of Labour.
Lindile Klaba from
Ministry.
Good morning, my name is Chris Moore from the Department of Labor.
Good morning, my name is Steve Scott from Solidarity.
I am Sibusiso Somimi from the National Union of Mine Workers.
Good morning, my name is Yanda Ngawe from the Department of Labor.
Morning, my name is Tobile Lamati, I'm from the Department of Labor.
Morning, my name is Andrew Merlach, I work with the Liquidators.
Good morning, my name is Enver Mutala, I'm one of six joint provisional liquidators of the Pomotsi group of companies.
Good morning, Chairman and fellow attendees. My name is Advocate Musa. I'm a senior advocate, and I will be representing or speaking on behalf of UNRWA this morning. Aurora, that's in provisional liquidation at the moment.
Sorry, that's a correction. Mr. Chairperson, Aurora is not in provisional liquidation. It's the Pomotsi group of companies.
I beg your pardon.
Can you put your mic off, please? Thank you. Madam.
Chairperson, Chairperson, point of order. Can I just get clarity there? Who is the gentleman representing now?
Can you press your mic, please?
Aurora has been requested to make a presentation this morning, and I will be doing the presentation.
Chairperson, can we finish the introduction and then come back to that?
State who you say you're representing Aurora.
That is right, yes.
Excellent. Good. The lady at the back. Please, let's not start this meeting on a very bad note. Let's not start the meeting on a very bad note. Allow us to do the round of introductions. Madam.
My name is Lenny Donnelly. I'm from the Mail and Guardian newspaper.
Thank you. Madam.
My name is Joanna Boyson. I'm from PMG.
Just before you, sir, the gentleman, are you finding a space? Are you able to find a space? Very well. Okay. Yes, sorry, sir.
I am Myron Durance. I'm an advocate. I'm on a watching brief for the liquidators.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Matthew Park, just representing COSATU's parliamentary office here today.
The mic we're recording.
My name is Peggy Skillen. I'm from the Legal Resources Center.
Madam.
Morning. I'm Sasha Planting from MoneyWeb.
Madam.
Linda Ensor, Business Day.
Thank you very much. I think all of us have been introduced except the gentleman who have just joined us and the two ladies. Okay, can you quickly do the introduction?
Of course, Tom Ali from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Madam? Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I think that takes care of the introductions. And in terms of the program before you, we are going to be, as the committee, adopting the second term program very quickly. Following that, before we come to the presentations, we are going to deal with the issue of Alex Scott Development Foundation, because we have asked them to be here, but we'll explain what is happening. In terms of the second term program, honorable members have got copies in their possession. The change, today we're on the 13th, we're dealing with the matters as reflected there. and the change would start kicking in on the follow-up oversight visit to Northern Cape, which was scheduled for the 15 and 16 of April. We did get approval from the parliamentary leadership, but the problem has arisen that we did receive a letter from the government of Northern Cape where they've indicated that they will not be available on those dates because they are hosting the presidency that will be spending a couple of days in that province. As a result of that correspondence, we are now taking a decision to therefore postpone that follow-up visit to Northern Cape until further date that we must still consider in liaison with the Northern Cape government and the Ministry of Mineral Resources. The other small change would be on the 1st of June. You would see in the program that we have scheduled that there will be public hearings, continuation of public hearings on mining charter, starting from the 25th of May. It was going to be continuing to the 1st of June. At the time of the working out of the program, the understanding was that the budget vote for mineral resources was going to be dealt with on the 2nd of June. But now it has since come to light that Parliament has changed that date. It has moved the budget vote deliberations to the 1st of June. Therefore, as a result, we will not have public hearings on the 1st of June because we want to allow members to polish their speeches, to also deal with their further research that they want to do, because on that very day we will be debating on the budget vote number 32, which is mineral resources. But what we will do is to put in an application to conduct the public hearings for the whole day on the 25th of May, so that we can also take care of what we were going to be doing on the 1st of June. Those are the only changes in the program before you, and I take it that they have got quite clear motivation. Can I get an indication of the adoption of this program? Honorable Njobo? Oh, are you abdicating your Honorable Tindo?
I'm still Honorable Tindo. I moved Chair, that we adopted the program.
Honorable Mare? Thank you very much. The second matter, which relates to Alex Code Development Foundation, is that, as you are aware, last time we said that we must, in terms of law, give them a final notice for them to appear before this committee. And we did indeed do so. They did receive our letter. They didn't respond back in terms of written response. They were in liaison with the committee section to indicate that they were trying to put together trustees and also putting together the information. The issue is very clear that we want them to come and account before this committee on how they have handled the funds that they have received from Alexco Mining Company as a trust fund whose purpose is to look after the interest of the recipient communities. We did receive reports from the Namakwa Development Fund Trust, but the Alexco Development Foundation has been evasive. We have no information whatsoever before us to basically test whether they've been handling those public funds in a proper way. And hence we have requested them to bring along audited financial statement. And indeed, they have not done so. They are not here today. And the letter was saying final invitation. I just want to reconfirm with you, honorable members, that we would have to start the proceedings of subpoenaing them in terms of the constitution
to appear before this committee. Can we get a mover to reconfirm that position that we've taken? Honorable Mare?
I move that we do that, sir. Thank you.
Any seconder? Honorable Sondo?
That is seconded, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
We will accordingly ask the legal department in Parliament to proceed forthwith with legal processes to subpoena the Alex Core Development Foundation to come and account before this August House. Thank you very much. Let's therefore move to the second item for the day, which I'm sure has brought quite generated quite an interest, which is to do with Aurora stroke Pamodzi. We have, as the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources, conducted public hearings, first in Carletonville, in the Gauteng province, and secondly in Klerksdorp, in the Northwest province, on the impact of the mining charter, both the old mining charter as well as the amended version of that charter referred to as the new charter. In the process of those public hearings, some of the members of the public approached us during the public hearings to raise the plight of the workers. Please come in, come in. There are some open seats here. Occupy some of them. They then raised their plight with us that they are the workers of Aurora, and that they have not been paid under the employment of Aurora, some for 2 years, some for a year and a half. And in that process, these concerns were confirmed by the National Union of Mine Workers, whose representatives were part of the public hearings. We then immediately took up the matter and agreed that coming back into Parliament, we will assess the situation and take an appropriate decision. And as a result of that, we indeed came across some documents, some correspondence between various institutions, labor movement, and the workers concerned. And therefore, we then looked at the legislative provision, because they claimed that their rights have been undermined in the process. And indeed, we looked at the constitution itself of the country. We discovered that there might be a possibility of their rights indeed being breached on Section 10 of the constitution, the right to human dignity, because they gave us an analogy of the suffering that they are enduring as a result of the situation in both Orkney and Grootvlei mines. And secondly, looking at the Constitution, we also see that in terms of Section 23 of the Constitution, which guarantees labor rights to working people in this country, there might be a breach of those provisions. Furthermore, when they have related to us their living conditions in the hostels, which they have indicated to be appalling, which also we've seen in some of the media reportage, where electrical supply, and in some instances there are allegations of water supply to those hostels being cut. And in perusing the Constitution, we have seen that Section 27 of the Constitution might be breached in this instance
which guarantees a right to health care, a right to food, a right to water, and social security. So in as far as the Constitution, we have a suspicion that these rights might be in breach, depending on what kind of explanation are we going to be given here by all role players that are affected in this matter. But also, looking at the legislative framework, we're posing questions whether there is no breach of the provisions of the MPRDA by any of the parties involved, whether there is no breach of the provisions of the Mine Health and Safety Act by any of the role players, whether there is no breach of the Labor Relations Act by any of the parties involved, whether also there is no breach of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act by any of the parties involved, whether there is no breach on the UIF Act by any of the parties involved, and also whether there are no breaches on the Insolvency Act. So, depending on what today we are going to be told of what is the situation in relation to this matter, we will then assess whether these laws, you know, have been complied with the role players' consent. Now, we have scheduled, without wasting time, that we do get presentation from the National Union of Mine Workers. We are told that their delegation had flight problems and they are on their way. They will join us at any given point in time. And as a result of that, we will give solidarity because we want the representatives of the organized labor to give us exactly in their view what are the developments in the situation of Orkney Mine, in the situation of Grootvlei Mine. And I must appeal to honorable members that this is not the first entity that we are engaging. This is not the first company that we are engaging. At all material times, we have never asked whether the entity concerned, the ownership patterns are in this way or in that way. I want to upfront put it on record that we are not dealing with shareholding. We are dealing with an entity in terms of whether they complied with the provisions of the law and whether they are in breach of the constitution of this country. I will therefore not allow debate on shareholding. That's the first issue. Secondly, I would want us to stick on factual situation. As we are going to listen to worker representatives, we would have to then take it from there so that we understand exactly what is happening. Because at the end of the day, what we are looking for is in what best manner do we find a lasting solution on this problem. Because 2 years, a year and a half, it's a long time, people subjected to unfair labor practices. And therefore, as a result, which might also include some exposure to hazardous situations. And therefore, we need to then get to know what role has been played by who. Was that role lawful? We understand also that there is some, I don't know whether to call it a judgment, but a decision by the Master of Court. We need to understand what role has been played by such legal fraternity in this instance, and what, you know, factors have they taken into account in taking decisions that they have taken, which maybe would expose that they have extended the suffering of these working people without taking due care in terms of what obtains on the ground. So all of that we'll have to assess, and then at our own time as members of Parliament look at what is the form of intervention that Parliament must make in a situation such as this. That might not be today, it might be in another meeting where we collect all the information and be able to take an informed decision. With those opening remarks, let's ask solidarity to tell us in their own view what is the problem. You see there how much time you have, sir. So we'll be a bit strict on time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorner. Thank you, honorable members of Parliament and the committee. I appreciate the time. What we're going to deal with, we need to take you back a step so that you can understand when we make the recommendation, why we're going to make the recommendations that we do. In the first instance, we will look at the Aurora's track record. I'll give you photographic evidence of what we discovered, deal with human rights violations, Solidarity's position, and then what we would like to get out of this meeting. First of all, let's go back to the offer that Aurora made. Aurora, September 2009, they submitted their bid. I can give you a copy if you'd like to get a copy of it. And first of all, they are a black empowered company. With that, obviously, it's a good enough reason to seriously look at them as a preferred bidder. And later on, I'm just going to give you the views of some of the workers regarding their view of black economic empowerment. But please, members, I would like to tell you that we're going to put it in the context of a person living in a hostel working for Aurora. It's not a general statement about BE, so I appreciate if you can look at the context in which I'm going to present it in. Aurora made an offer of 605 million rand for the Grootfontein Orkney mines, which was a lot more than what anybody else offered. They indicated in their offer letter that they're well capitalized, they have even funds for expansion, they will recruit experienced management teams, there will be no retrenchments, they will implement employee incentive scheme that will be run by PwC, they will introduce a community trust, state-of-the-art healthcare services. They will introduce a housing scheme because housing is a basic human right. There will be bursaries for children. They will join the Environmental Trust and Conservation Trust, and they see the conservation as one of the priority focus areas. What they took over the following on 14th of October 2009, 5,300 employees, two fully functional mines at Grootfontein Orkney, with the various shafts, 13 shafts fully operational. At Grootfontein there was a brand new state-of-the-art shaft. They inherited a very experienced team, and there you can see at the bottom, I've just listed that I got out of the gold processing plant the gold that was processed during those 6 months period. And then you need to look at every kilogram and you need to time it by 300,000 rands. That was more or less what a kilogram of gold was costing, what they got for that. And then you can make your own calculations and see they most probably got more than 100 million rands out of the deal in the first 6 months. And one of the questions, what happened to the money? Just want to show you, December 2009, your figure in your pack says 34 kilograms. It's 134 kilograms of gold. But then reality sets in. From day one, from October 2009, when Aurora took over, they were in breach of the Interim Trade Care and Maintenance Agreement. They did not submit their monthly reports to the liquidators, etc., etc. On the 31st of January is when they first started to miss salary payments, and that continued for February and March. Eventually, on the 1st of April, the mine went into care and maintenance after the workers got very angry for the non-payment of salaries, and approximately 5,000 workers were laid off. Then we discovered the following from this Solidarity site and the National Union of Mine Workers. Aurora did not register with the UIF. They've made deductions from the salaries from the employees for UIF. It was not paid over. They did not register with SARS. My understanding is that they still not registered with SARS. So pay as you earn were deducted, not paid over. Union subscription fees were deducted, not paid over to the union. Pension and Provident Fund money were deducted to the value of 4.1 million rands. It was not paid over to the pension fund. The matter was then reported to the FSB. The FSB said it's very serious. We need to report the matter to the National Prosecuting Authority. The NPA said it's very serious. They will commence a criminal investigation. 3 months later, the NPA came back to us. They handed the file back to the fund and say, we suggest you sort it out with Aurora directly. Then garnishee orders were deducted, not paid over. It's basically fraud that we're talking about. They stole from the poor. They did not register with Rand Mutual Assurance, also not with workman's compensation. That is a statutory requirement for mine workers to have death and disability cover. And they owe various service providers millions of rands. I believe for Eskom they owe them 48 million rands alone. Aurora, in on their website, you will find they've got a statement regarding ethics, and they set the following on their website. Because the directors regard the integrity and high ethical standard as priceless assets, Aurora has adopted a code of ethics and conduct. This code outlines our commitment to society, the authorities, our clients, and our employees. Let's see how their code, if we look at their code, what happens in practice. When the non-payment of salaries started to become an issue, on the 26th of March, we received a letter from Mr. Shishile Nkubani, the commercial director of Aurora, indicating Aurora obtained the required funding and is fully capitalized and all salaries will be paid on the 30th of March. It did not happen. Actually, on the 30th of March, we received another communication from Mr. Ngubani that it will be paid in April. The 9th of April, there was a press statement that said all the real salaries will be paid. None of it happened. The 15th of April, another press statement that said all outstanding salaries were paid. It did not happen. Then a further press conference on the 29th, Aurora indicated they finally received the funding and will restore the relationship with the union. That did not happen. The 17th of May, the same, a letter that indicating on the 20th of May, now finally salaries will be paid, did not happen. On the 6th of June, Mr. Kulabusi Zuma, the chairman of Aurora Empowerment Systems, indicated, just give us 3 months, we will sort out everything. On the 9th of June, Mr. Michael Hulley, director of Aurora, indicated that all salaries will be paid on the 21st of June, and the insurance, the statutory compulsory insurance, will be in place on the 16th of June. It did not happen. On the 24th of August, there was another press statement by Aurora. They say employees will now be paid, and it did not happen. And the list goes on and on. And still, the outstanding salaries are not paid in full. And that was where we agreed with the New Age when they said Aurora blatant lies. Then let's look at Aurora. They've got the tag of the so-called preferred bidder. That is what they refer to. But how does this preferred bidder look like? They destroyed 5,300 jobs. And we all need to work together to create 5 million jobs. They've just destroyed 5,300 jobs. They've placed 42,000 people in poverty. In terms of the Chamber of Mines, each mine worker look after approximately 8 dependents, so therefore that's how we got to that figure. None of the shafts are operational anymore, and I'll show you photographs to the honourable members of the committee. Various shafts are totally destroyed and flooded. They've polluted the wetlands, especially in the Grootvlei area. The water pump at the Grootvlei station that was installed by the previous government were destroyed. The pumps were removed. Apparently removed for it to be fixed. Those pumps are gone. And the water level are rising by 1 meter a day, and that's according to Mr. Marius Kiert of the Department of Water Affairs. They owe employees in excess of 12 million rands in outstanding salaries and the remuneration that was deducted, not paid over, and outstanding leave pay for those who have left them. There's a long list of creditors, but there's also a massive impact on the Springs area and also the local communities and the Orkney area. And it started to affect the reputation of the mining industry, and I will show you more about that. Mr. Chairperson, a week ago, Mr. Enver Mutala indicated in an interview with SAPA that that's the liquidators, we would like to pull the plug, but the secure creditors don't want us to do that. They say, if you leave Aurora there, at least the assets are being protected. Now I'm going to show you what is happening, what Aurora is doing with the assets, and we are saying to you, they were given... Aurora were given more time by the High Court. More time to do what? Yeah, I know the alarm bells are ringing. I can see it. Aurora are giving more time to destroy the mine. First of all, I would like to show you shaft 6 at Grootvlei mine. This is how it used to look like. You'll see you've got the headgear on the right-hand side, the headgear with the furnaces on the left. This is what is left. It's gone. The shaft has been destroyed totally. This is the open shaft. It's a 10 by 4 meter gap in the middle of an area where people live 400 meters deep. In the Business Day, there was an article recently. Mr. Mutala indicated, we did not grant Aurora permission to sell or remove any of the assets. Mr. Ngubani, who's in this room, said, I'm unaware of the removal of any of the property of the site, and I have not seen anything like that. Then Mr. Namanyani of the NUM then said, Aurora told me they received a mandate from the liquidators to sell the scrap. You'll see there at the back, there's a police van. We called into the police. The police arrived there. They confronted the contractors of Reclaim. The contractor said the Barnard family, who was actually running the mine, they gave us permission. The police contacted the Barnard family, Mr. Solly and Mr. Faisal Barnard. They said one of the liquidators gave us permission. Then Aurora came out and they said, yeah, but there's a lot of illegal mining activities. That most probably it's the illegal miners. I can tell you now, that vehicle that you see there is not driven by illegal miners. That was a company called Reclaim. They said they've got a contract. They said to us they're getting 2 rands and 1 cent per kilogram for the various metals that they deliver. And in the end, you will also see all the contractors up there busy destroying the shaft 6. That's definitely not illegal miners. That's contract workers. There's just another mine, Daggafontein. There's nothing left. If you go there, it's in also close to Springs. Nothing left. But what hurts the most from a business point of view, in 2008, Pamotzi Gold used all the money that they had at the time to build this shaft, Ndlovu shaft. It was costing them, and that was the invitation to the media to come and look at the new shaft. They've erected and built a shaft at a cost of 40 million rands at the time. You will see it's brand new equipment. This is what is left of Ndlovu shaft. They did not destroy a shaft here. They've destroyed jobs. There were 210 people working here. That is what's left. There's nothing left. Let's look at the top. At the top, that was the headgear. This is what is left. It's gone. It's destroyed. And then I need to show you, there is also a shaft. The same condition as 6 shaft. We have this open hole 400 meters deep. On the right-hand side, there were children playing. They were just on the back of this area that you'll see. There's an informal settlement. There are people walking past here every day. In terms of the regulations, a shaft like that needs to be covered with steel, thereafter with concrete. There are 4 open shafts like this in the middle of nowhere where people live, where people walk past. So that is why we are saying definitely, you know, Aurora cannot be allowed to destroy jobs. This is what they are busy doing. But there's a human side of it. There's a human element of it. That's why we are here. We are the trade unions. We look after the interest of people. Let's look at the human tragedy. There's one of our members, Marius Ferreira. He committed suicide 2 weeks ago. Marius started working for Aurora when they took over on the 14th of October 2009. He was earning 12,841 rands as a fitter. After a few months, Aurora came to him and they said, you've got a choice. You either leave today or you work for 60 rand a day. They gave him a contract to work for 60 rand a day. Marius had to work 30 days of the month so that he can earn 1,800. You can 30 times 60 give you 1,800 rand a month. So his salary dropped from 12,800 to 1,800. But the irony is they did not pay him his 60 rand a day. He lost his house. He lost his cars. He lost his furniture. All the policies, everything he had, eventually he lost his dignity. And he committed suicide 2 weeks ago by drinking and poison. And if you go and Google it, it's the cruelest way to die if you drink and poison. What happens to your body? There's his wife, Susan. She's got nothing. Solidarity paid for the funeral. Solidarity is giving her food parcels every week. That is just one case study of one individual. We've now appointed a lot of trauma counselors to go and counsel all these people where there's a similar problem. Then, if you look at the hostels, and that's where I said, I'm just going to put it in the perspective of one of the hostel dwellers. That's the hostel at Grootvlei Mine. This is how it looks like. This is the toilets. It doesn't matter, it's also the showers, but there are no running water anymore. This is how the people live. If you go in there, honorable members of parliament, you can't stay in this place for longer than 30 seconds. But this is how the people have to live. There's an interview that we did with the 2 people last week. The gentleman on the left, he said, I've been staying here since 1983. There's nowhere to go. This is the place that I know. This is where I must stay. And then the gentleman on the right who we interviewed, Elvis, he said the following, and please put it in the context of the conditions. He said, I wish that we can go back to apartheid because I was much better off then than under Aurora. Remember, put it in the context of what Elvis is experiencing under Aurora. We had various marches as well with the National Union of Mine Workers, and there was another hostile dweller who came up with the following sign, and again, this is not this gentleman's view outside Aurora, that's his view as an Aurora employee, and we need to change that. At 6 Shaft, we've taken a photograph of the following, work no, no more work, that somebody wrote there. The Solidarity in the National Union of Mine Workers, we then commenced with a project to hand out food parcels on a regular basis. Between the two unions, we have spent 5 million rands on food parcels, handing out food parcels to the employees. This was at Grootvlei Mine. Tomorrow we're handing out at Grootvlei again if anybody wished to attend, and that was at Orkney when we handed out the food parcels. That is why we say from Solidarity side, the gloves are off. We cannot allow this to continue to happen. Solidarity took the following actions. We joined forces with our comrades at the National Union of Mine Workers. There were various correspondence to various departments. There were 8 departments that we've corresponded with, dealt with, brought that to their attention. And yes, there was reaction from most of them, but when there was a directive issued, it was never followed through. We got assistance from the Department of Labor, we got assistance from the Department of Water Affairs, Department of Mineral Resources, Department of Social Welfare, etc. But we just see that gets to a certain point and nothing happened after that. We also started with a process together, Department of Labor and the National Union of Mine Workers, to at least get these employees to claim UIF, because what Aurora did, they were laid off on a temporary basis, not retrenched, so they cannot claim UIF. So there are people sitting at home since the 1st of March 2010 unable to claim UIF. We've also asked for an investigation into the total liquidation process. We are interacting with the relevant department in that regard, but what we also do from our side and the National Union of Mine Workers side is to keep this human rights violation in the public domain. If we look at what happened post-94, this is by far the biggest human rights violation that our new democracy needs to deal with. The support that we require from the Portfolio Committee, and the Honourable Chairperson referred to it already, we've added a few more to it. Yes, definitely, the right to human dignity have been infringed. But we also say, if you don't get your salary, you're actually a slave, because you have to work 12 hours a day without any payment. That's also a form of slavery that we've abolished a long time ago in this country. The Labour Relations Act was, the Labour Relations matter was been referred to, the environmental issue has been referred to, and then healthcare, food, water and social security, that section have also been referred to. Then, Honourable Chairperson, Solidarity is part of the MICDET process, that's the Mining Industry Growth Development Employee Task Team. We've adopted, we've signed the Transformation Charter, we've been involved in the Competitiveness and Sustainability Committee. And in the end, there was a document presented to this Portfolio Committee, and all the unions, all the stakeholders are totally committed to it, and we say, Aurora, they are working against what we've agreed regarding transformation, regarding sustainability. There's a looming water crisis, something that will affect the whole East Rand. If the water level is rising by 1 meter a day, you still need to go and restore. Somebody needs to go and restore a new pumping station at the cost of 30 million rands. Most probably it will be the Department of Water Affairs, and that's taxpayers' money. And it's got a negative impact on foreign investment in mining. And I will show you a few examples. This matter has been in the media since mid-February 2010 on a daily basis. Aurora mine toxic water crisis. Desperate times for Aurora miners. Aurora mine massacre. Aurora taints Mandela's legacy. And sometimes I wonder, sometimes I have sympathy with Mr. Zondwa Mandela, Mr. Kulabusi Zuma, Mr. Michael Halley, because I sometimes wonder if their names are not just linked to it, and if they're not somebody else running the business and using their names. I don't know, but in the end, they're statutory directors for this mine. Then Aurora got 30 million. Where did it go? Gusati lay charges against Aurora. They're Aurora's predators. And it goes on. Most Aurora miners have still not been paid. Deadline today for Aurora. Millions to fix the pumps at Aurora. And it happens. But the problem is also foreign media. When we've discussed at the MIGDET process that we need to also attract foreign investors, first of all, the BBC World. They are here today. They were also in the mine last week. They've got an audience of 150 million people, 60 million people at any given time looking at what they show all over the world. They are busy doing a 40-minute documentary that will soon be shown before the end of this month, and it's not going to show a pretty picture. Then also French 24 recently did a documentary on it. There's the Washington Times headline news. And recently, nearly 4 weeks ago, when the results came out of the Fraser Institute ratings, and South Africa moved from the 61st position in the rankings to the 67th position in the rankings. That same day, the ABC, that's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, rushed to South Africa with two reporters to come and do a story on why is it that South Africa is losing investor confidence all over the world. And the angle that they took is, as they said, because maybe Aurora is a sign for things to come. And they said, and that was the introduction, you can go to onto ABC, onto their website, just put in Mining South Africa, the documentary will come up, and the introductory words was as follows: investor confidence in South Africa mining capabilities is continued to wane as the country faces an uphill battle to revive the industry. Typical of the province, problems, a mining company called Aurora. And then the whole documentary that was shown in prime time was about that. And if we don't think that Australian or people who watch the BBC or people in France are important to investments in Africa, then we don't have to worry, but I think it's extremely important. In conclusion, and it's my last slide that I'm going to finish off, Mr. Chairperson, what we need, now that you've seen what we are facing, we need political intervention and support from the Honourable Members of Parliament to remove Aurora empowerment systems. They are destroying the image of the South African mining industry. They are destroying jobs. More importantly, they are destroying the lives of people. They are destroying the environment. We need political support for an investigation into any form of unethical conduct regarding this strategy. We need political pressure to be applied on all relevant state departments to address the people issue. Every department, one way or another, what they need to do and the action they need to take will make life easier for people. And I don't say for 1 second we did not get any support from any political party. All the political parties present here have given us support, and we appreciate it, but we need more. The Department of Mineral and Resources needs to go and inspect those mines and tell us, is it still in a safe condition to be sold as a mine? Is it still a mine? That's the question. And then lastly, we also need to look at the pump station situation. It's critical, and that pump station needs to be restored. The last thing that I want to finish off is I just want to show you the headline of the Times, an article written by Dominic Mshlangu, where he said, the Aurora situation is a crying shame. And what I can say to this committee is there are people who are crying. There are people who are dying because we deal with people who are lying. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You've painted quite a serious picture. We thank you for this input. Honourable members, any questions on the presentation?
Yes, Honourable Member, Honourable Schmidt.
Thank you, Chair.
Hang on, let's see first who else would want to. Honourable Schmidt, Honourable Ollis, for now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson, can you introduce yourself so that
I've introduced myself when we started. I really find it difficult to discuss this horrendous act by the Aurora mine owners without making reference to the shareholders. You indicated that this is not about shareholders. But it's really, really difficult, because it is as a result of those shareholders that the Aurora mine is in the situation that we have just experienced during the presentation. They've destroyed 5,300 jobs. They have lied to the community living around there. They have actually not saw it important to abide by the rules governing employment, not registered with the UIF. They have not paid their employees for 2 years. Now, how would you as a human being employ people and fail to pay them even for 2 months? This is totally, totally shameful and unacceptable. And I'm surprised as to why Aurora was left to actually run the mine for so many years without actually abiding by the labor employment regulations. I would move that as members of parliament, really we put our heads together and see as soon as possible as to what is the way forward now to deal with Aurora mines once and for all, and the owners must be held responsible, accountable, and if anything, their bank accounts should be freezed, and money should be taken to pay all those employees. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I didn't want to cut you short. Here we've got solidarity. Let's ask questions from them. And we are going to listen to the other role players, including Aurora itself. We put questions. At the end, I've said we must sit as members of parliament and look at what form and nature of intervention must we make. I would worry of a situation of drawing conclusions up front before we could hear. But thank you very much. I didn't want to cut you short on that. Honorable Schmidt.
Can I just say, it's commendable that the committees are starting to deal with this matter, because some of us have been to that mine, and some of us have interacted with the Department of Labor as recently as, end of last year. And it is despicable that nothing has been done in the process. But can I just ask, and that's more important, that whatever steps are taken are taken within a legal environment, because eventually there's a legal solution, there should be a legal solution, as supported by political intervention. But my question is, what is the role of the liquidator, Mr. Enver Mutale? Because there has been application to the High Court, and I think that application has been postponed at least twice, if not three times. And everything seems to be on hold, deliberately or as a consequence of other legal procedures. But Mr. Enver Mutale seems to be playing a crucial role, and I don't see his name anywhere mentioned. How does he interact with the sequence of events? Because, as I understand it, whilst the company is being, there's a provisional liquidation being sought, and a final liquidation rather being sought, the liquidator takes control and takes decisions on behalf of those particular instances. Now, what is the status quo at the present moment? And you don't seem to have any critique towards, particularly the way he has dealt with the situation. Thank you. Or do you? That's basically my question.
Thank you very much. Honourable Hollis.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Ian Hollis, the Shadow Labour Minister. My question to Solidarity, Chairperson, is can they tell us when was the first time the Department of Labour was aware of the terrible conditions that workers are suffering under at this mine? When did they know? The Chairperson, I don't know whether you will permit, but I'd like to know from the Labor Department what exactly they did. They've known about this Chairperson for quite some time, and you know, we don't really know. And I wonder if the Labor Department is going to tell us what they've done about the situation of the workers there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sonto.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I must thank Solidarity for the presentation. Mine is not a question, Chairperson, but a suggestion that says we've heard the presentation from Solidarity. Really, it paints a dire picture. And as human beings, I'm not talking about us as being politicians and bureaucrats. As human beings, that state of affairs is unacceptable. My suggestion to the committee, Chairperson, is that would be that let us hear the stakeholders so that we find it easy to interact with them after they have made their presentation. Because when you look at the presentation by Solidarity, it requires of us that we crisscross in terms of raising our questions. I've heard my colleague here trying to, I wouldn't say snipe, throw his arrow at Labour. It would be okay for us, for the committee, when all these stakeholders have made their presentation, their presentations, for us to be able to say, on the basis of what Solidarity has presented, you liquidators, what is your take on this situation? Why do you prolong this thing to this instance? I mean, we are able to crisscross when we're questioning. That is my my suggestion, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Holuru.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think my colleague here is spot on. Let's allow all the stakeholders here to present, and then from there we can then interact with all the presentations at once. I think it will be simpler. Thank you very much, Chair.
I think it's a sensible suggestion that will also facilitate the smooth running of the process. Because already, if you listen to the questions, you know, they indeed go beyond the presenters. But we'll allow you to respond to the questions asked now, and then take presentations from, I see the NUM has just walked in, the NUM and all other all other role players, and then we handle the questions. But my question to you is that you're painting this very gloomy picture. You are also of a very clear view that the company concerned has breached laws. What stopped you from taking legal action? For instance, in terms of LRA, in terms of basic conditions of employment, and so forth. Is there anything that prevented you from embarking on those legal actions to basically get you know, remedy on the situation, so that we can have a sense of whether all the avenues are closed to you in your own view? But after your responses, we would because indeed there have got other questions. I mean, you painted quite a serious picture here, especially also of the apparent stripping of the mine assets. It's an issue that arose during those public hearings when people were talking for themselves. They made allegations to the effect that it's not only the mining assets that are being stripped, but also the actual mineral, you know,
get stolen in a way. Are you able to confirm that, or are you not? You are not informed in as far as that is concerned. Please respond to those questions that have been raised. NUM, can you get ready in the meantime so that we listen to your presentation? And followed by, let's see the program here. And followed by Aurora, followed by Mineral Resources, followed by Labour. And then the last people will be the SPT, which would be the liquidators involved in the process. Please, over to you, Solidarity.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm going to start off with the question that you've asked and give my response to it. In the first instance, and it also goes back to the question that was asked by Mr. Ollis, the Department of Labour in March 2010, when there was the non-payment of salaries already for part of January 2010, February 2010 was not paid, and then also March 2010, Department of Labour then got involved. In April, the department started with a process where they've issued a non-compliance order. And the Department of Labour indicated at that stage, Solidarity should not go on its own. And the department will represent all the workers from the both trade unions and the non-unionized employees. The compliance order was, according to our understanding, then ignored by Aurora Empowerment Systems. The Department of Labour then interacted on a regular basis, and at one stage we felt that the matter has been dragged out too long when we got to September 2010. Then the Department of Labour issued a further compliance order stating that Aurora Empowerment Systems must pay by the 30th of November all outstanding salaries. Aurora then only paid part of it, so the compliance order was again ignored. It was only at that point in time when the Department of Labour then informed Solidarity that they are actually only acting on behalf of employees earning above, below the threshold of 12,400 rands. Solidarity was then caught off guard, and we were then 8 months behind with our legal process, so we were of the view the Department of Labour are also acting on our behalf because they've put that in writing. We've then commenced, in terms of Section 77(3) of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, to recoup the money through the courts for our members. We were then told by our legal team that the Aurora can drag out that process for 2 years. Solidarity then in November 2010 opted to go for the liquidation route. We got then 100 of our members together. Their total outstanding wage bill is 4.6 million rands, and we've now commenced with a liquidation process, and the reason is twofold. One is to speed up the process for us to get the 4.6 million rands for our members who are part of the action. Secondly, we believe that's the only avenue for us to follow to remove Aurora Empowerment Systems, because if the liquidators, the secured creditor, and the other stakeholders involved are unable to remove Aurora, we will do it through a liquidation process. That process have gone the route where the letters of demand were issued. It was ignored by Aurora, and in 2 weeks' time, we will then issue them with our liquidation application papers, and hopefully we will get to court very soon to commence with that process. What was also a difficulty in this regard, Mr. Chairperson, regarding the actions taken, Aurora Empowerment Systems enter into contracts on different names with other companies. For instance, Aurora Gold East Rand. It's a company that doesn't exist. Kahunda Global Mining Resources 2. That's also, we went into the Cypro website, that company doesn't exist. So it's very difficult to litigate under Aurora since they were entering into contracts on a different names. So we want to get into a process when we litigate, we don't litigate against an empty shell. Then, regarding the question, the relationship with Mr. Mutala, I did not elaborate in my presentation since I thought it was a common cause that Solidarity and the NUM requested on three occasions jointly that Mr. Mutala should be removed as a liquidator. So that is still solidarity stance and the NUM stance, that we believe that whenever there is a crisis that and we phone, we will be referred by either Mr. Ngobani or one of the Bana families or the other directors to Mr. Mutala. And we said, you know, but you need to respond to that specific crisis at a point of time, not Mr. Mutala. We felt he's way too close to the process. And also with regards to the extensions that the High Court granted, where the return date has been extended, I stand to be corrected, but I believe the return date has now been extended for the sixth time. And Mr. Mutala went on record in a radio interview in November 2010 with MoneyWeb, where he indicated that the final deadline date for Aurora to submit their irrevocable guarantees of funding would be the 18th of December. And if that does not happen, is that the liquidators will then propose that Aurora should be removed, and there will be a proposal made to the secured creditors that they must lose their status as the preferred bidder. And that was with regards to Aurora, not the Pimozzi Gold Estate. And quite clearly that did not happen, because then on that date the High Court extended the return date to the 28th of February. On the 28th of February, the court date was the return date was extended to the 16th of August to give this year to give Aurora another 6 months to come up with the required funding. So the end result is recently I noticed that the liquidators gave Aurora actually just time until the end of May to come up with the money. So in other words, what we are saying from Solidarity side, they were given Aurora another 2 months to clean up the mine, because most probably I think that's what all they require to finish off all the other shafts that are still standing. So yes, we are definitely uncomfortable, sir, and we are at the moment also interacting with the relevant State Department regarding the whole liquidation process. And there was a joint letter written by Solidarity and the NUM regarding that process. Mr. Chairperson, your last question, I will find it difficult to answer, but I'll try my best regarding the removal of some of the gold or the ore body. There was, we are in possession of communication dated the 6th of April 2010 that the liquidators wrote through their attorneys to Aurora to say that they are aware that they're also removing some of the ore to a nearby mine. And all of that, you know, whatever Aurora had to do in terms of the interim trading care and maintenance agreement, they had to report, you know, every single time that they, whatever they remove out of the ground, the ore, what they removed, and the smelting of gold needs to be reported. That never happened. So in the end, the watchdog was supposed to be the liquidators to see what's happening at the mines. But what also happened during the time when Aurora was still mining, they were doing what was referred to as pillar mining. And in the end, they've destroyed, obviously, the shafts and the life of mines through the kind of mining activities that they entered into, because that's the cheapest way. But what you do is you get a lot of ore out, but you destroy the ore body. But that is as much as I can say regarding the minerals. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you very much. Let's then proceed. We will come back to you if there are any further questions that arise. Let's thank Solidarity for now and ask NUM to then take us through. Could you switch seats so that they sit here in front of us? It's unfortunate that this room is proving to be not of the capacity that we need for a meeting of this nature. Are you going to be doing a PowerPoint presentation anywhere? Are you going to be using the machine? All the copies are here. But switch seats. Can you occupy the seats that were occupied by NUM, and then you sit here, those who are going to be presenting? In the meantime, whilst they're trying to get themselves into order, let's welcome the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Labour, and we will be co-chairing the proceedings until we conclude the matter into the future. You find us in the process, my leader. We've just changed from this program to say let them all present, and then we are able to then ask questions. Okay. Are you ready? Please introduce your delegation, your entire delegation as well, so that we have them on record.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee in Mineral and Resource. Next to me is Comrade Ellen Diatile. She is a Chairperson of Education nationally of the National Union of Mine Workers. And on my back, I have Comrade Mpopa Gedi. You can stand so that you can be seen at the house. He is the Secretary of the PWB region. Oh, no, in my front, okay. 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 Sorry, Comrade Gola. I have a member of the media and publicity from the National Union of Mine Workers, Comrade Siba Soshoka. All right. And then we have next to him, comrade from PWB. What is the name of the comrade? Mabena. Okay. Yeah, you can stand, just mention your name, my comrade. Okay, thank you. We have our legal representative, Comrade Nika. You can stand so that the house can see you. And then we have Comrade Mpatlela, who is the manager of Matlosane Region, National Union of Mine Workers. Okay. I think that is the entire delegation of... okay. We have Comrade Keifa Zulu, the chairperson of Matlosane Region, deputy chairperson of Matlosane Region, also chairperson of Aurora in the Ogni operation. And then he is with his secretary, Comrade Nkosi Dlamini, who is the secretary of the Aurora branch in Ogni operation. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. As the National Union of Mine Workers, Honorable Chairperson, we feel very much honored to come and present problems that are confronting workers in Ogni operation and respectively in the Eastern Grootvlei operation. We like to give the background of what actually happens before Aurora takes over. The workers were initially employed by AngloGold Ashanti and were subsequently transferred to a company called African Rainbow Mineral in 1998. They were again transferred from African Rainbow Mineral to Harmony in 2004. And for almost 4 years until they were eventually transferred to Pamuzi Gold in 2008. Suddenly in 2009, Pamuzi was placed under provisional liquidation, and Pamuzi was never stable since its inception because they would often remunerate workers in drips and drabs, for example, 10% of their salaries, citing their financial constraints until a point where they were not able to pay the majority of their main creditors. The company was finally placed under provisional liquidation in March 2009 with constant and postponements of the final liquidation. In 2009, by March, a Master of Court appointing joint liquidators, which is Emba Motala, Allen Pelo, and Yon Botta, and ignoring our nominee, although we are the majority union in that company. In 2009, again, April, NUM appointing Barrett Peterson as an advisor to the union in the liquidation process in order to have some form of access to going on by the joint liquidators and to present the union's interest. One of the major creditors, the Master of Court, ultimately acceded to our nominee. The issue is that after ignoring our nominee, Master of Court, we approached him, and then that liquidator was just an advisor to what is happening inside, because obviously Oyemba Motale was the person who is a principal liquidator. By April 2009, there was a meeting between liquidators where, amongst other things, Bestrock LLC is said to have been an approver of at least a 200 million facility to invest in Pamuzi. Nothing comes out of that deal, and the search for funders continues. Aurora Empowerment System is appointed as a preferred bidder to undertake, amongst other things, care maintenance and the care of assets. The NUM indicates its unhappiness over the preference of Aurora, as they have no clue and experience in mining. Like Pamuzi, it is the NUM approach that not only the purchase price should be considered, but sustainable mining should be a paramount consideration. In the second page, Harmony takes over Pamuzi Free State, but it is not interested in other operations, Ogni and East Rand. August 2009, there are more than 10 liquidations application service companies claiming millions of unpaid debts against Pamuzi, and this further complicates the residue process. On a monthly basis, there are delayed payments of salaries for workers during water pumping, for example, and the union must always commit persons to deal with such crises every now and then. Whenever people have to be paid, the management of the mines under Aurora is no different from Pamuzi Gold, and the situation deteriorated from bad to worse. By March 2010, arrangements are entered between Memontam, that is the company which is running the Provident Fund, for workers to get their Provident Fund, because there were nothing for workers to get to be sustained. By April 2010, NUM and Aurora entered into a memorandum of understanding with regard to error salaries from February 2010 to April 2010. The agreement is honored in bits and pieces by Aurora, which does not have money. We discover that Aurora deducts contributions to the Rand Mutual Assurance Pension Fund, but does not pay over the money to the insurance companies, and thereby posing a great risk of repudiations of covers by the insurance companies, and further, this act constitutes fraud and theft. We are saying this because when money was deducted by Aurora, the money that was to proceed to Provident Fund, to pension fund, to what is called as a deferred pay, because some workers who come from neighboring countries, their monies are deducted every month to be deposited to their bank accounts in their respective countries. And the money for insurances and the money for trade union subscription, these monies were deducted but were not reaching the final destination, which is a theft and fraud which was carried out by Aurora. By May 2010, Comrade Eric Kilishani, who is our national office bearer, was held hostage by workers at Pamuzi Aurora Ogni for something which is outside the control of the union. When he went there to explain the process of the union, by the matter of high court through the liquidators, workers vented their anger at the union. By May 2010, the union, being the National Union of Mine Workers, takes a resolution of its 2010 Central Committee to raise funds for food parcels for the destitute Aurora employers, employees. We raised close to 1.2 million, and it was used to buy food for donations to the workers. We also approached the Department of SASA. They also provided temporary relief fund, which was 1,080 rands to each worker for 3 months. But this excluded the workers that are coming from neighboring countries, according to the law. By June 2010, stage a march at Aurora Liquidators office in Sandton, complaining and registering our loss of trust in their conduct regarding liquidation process and the takeover by Aurora. By July 2010, union meeting with the directors of Aurora, where they admitted that they were not very truthful about the status of their funding whenever they reported to us. August 2010, the letter to the joint liquidators calling them to meeting to explain to us why other bidders not being considered in the wake of Aurora and not being able to sustain any of funding, and the extension of provisional liquidation to 13 November 2010. No response from the liquidator until of 18 October 2010, when nothing tangible comes out. Here we are referring to the fact that there were some companies like Simon Jack, like Visual Asia Mining, who were interested in buying the business. But the principal liquidator decided to ignore all this bidding. August 2010, TV interview with of Masikulume, where the issues were discussed, and Aurora's representative confirmed that they will step off if another funder, independent of them, comes with money. Surprisingly, the liquidators aware that the Aurora representative spoke without a mandate to say that. This shows that the relationship of Aurora and the liquidator was in such a way that the liquidator will not agree that Aurora should be displaced from being a preferred bidder. Of what reason, we don't know. But September 2010, meeting with Visual Asia Mining, a company that claimed to have money in the bank in South Africa, but joint liquidators are not giving them a proper hearing. We then pushed for a meeting with joint liquidator to explain themselves and the alleged conduct. Visual has now offered 110 million for Ogni operation, but the silence of the liquidators over this offer is surprising. What usually happens is that when the company comes and claim to have any funds to buy the mine, as the majority union, we are called in to be part of that meeting, but the liquidators has not done that with Asia Visual Mining because of their intensive love with Aurora. By November 2010, still awaiting a meeting between the liquidators and the union, Visual Mining and liquidators are providing all forms of excuses. Like that, they are talking to some new funder and the negotiations are at an advanced stage. February 2011, the liquidators go to court and another lifeline is given to Aurora with no proof of funding to August 2011. Whenever the liquidators went to court to apply for an extension, they never served us with court papers, but secretly and unethically went there without any warning and information to us. There is a need for implementation of change of insolvency legislation, like limitation of pay to workers, whereas liquidators who might not have done much in assisting the process possibly are entitled to fixed percentages irrespective of results. The master not to abandon his duties to the liquidators, but ensure that the creditors are consulted and properly as required by the law. We will have just two points for presentation which are not included in the one that I was presenting, because we realized at last that there was theft taking place of mine assets by Aurora. Then, because of time constraint, we are unable to consolidate, but it's only two points that I'm going to raise here. It's a violation of legislation. There has been a lot of twists and turns during the above-mentioned process where the company in question horribly violated constitutional imperatives by failing to pay contribution to relevant authorities on behalf of workers. It is a very strange phenomenon where an organization commits a criminal offense, but the might of law becomes mute. Under normal circumstances, we would expect the government to step up its authority by conducting investigation and finally making sure that the perpetrators are brought to books. But to our dismay, it is not the case in this particular situation. Further to our dismay, it is the case that has been withdrawn by the Department of Labor for the company failing to pay contribution to relevant authorities. We did take the case to the Department of Labor, and that case was just withdrawn because the case was about the above-mentioned constitutional violation by Aurora not paying workers and also stealing their third-party deductions. Under 6, due to the withdrawal of electricity, which is the important one here, by Angugori Ashanti, because we have a meeting with Angugori Ashanti 3 days before this presentation, where they told us that they are going to switch off the electricity in the Ogni operation. This is going to be a result in adverse consequences both in our region and surrounding communities. They already switched off the gearhead, which may directly or indirectly cause a serious havoc for aeroplanes, which it constitutes to non-compliance. Yeah, because the head gear of the shaft, it has a light on top, which shows the aeroplane as they travel during the night. Now, the electricity has been switched off, so that will cause havoc, because if the plane can hit that shaft, it will result in a major accident. With the above understanding, we therefore humbly submit our appeal to the government to swiftly address the glaring challenges which further jeopardize the plight of innocent citizens of our surrounding communities. The Master of Court must be instructed to terminate services of Mr. Motala because of his biasness to Aurora Empowerment System at the expense of the suffering people. Finally, Honorable Chairperson, we hold a view that that says selective justice is a miscarriage of justice. We are saying that because if our members have been arrested when intercepting people that were stealing assets from the mine and they were arrested and locked in jail, but these people, Aurora, are stealing assets from the mine. We met the police, Mr. General Matthews, who is the commissioner in Tlazop, and they called them and they were able to introduce a document which authorized them to sell the assets of the mine. We are saying they are stealing because they have not bought the mine. The mine still belongs to Pamozi, but they are taking locomotives, headgears, and all sorts of valuable assets to sell them for their own benefit. And then that is theft, and we are calling upon this House to assist in that regard. In conclusion, we are saying politics without principles, and pleasure without conscience, and wealth without work, and knowledge without character, and commerce without morality, and science without humanity, and worship without sacrifice is just in vain. I thank you, Comrade Jefferson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, NUM. We have taken a decision that we will interact with all presenters at the same time. So let's now allow you to take a breather. We will come back with questions when that time arrives. And we get a presentation from Aurora. You said, say, you are representing Aurora.
Oh. Yes, sir, I did. See, I
are you going to use the machine or are you going to speak to us?
Sorry, what machine? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm going to use this.
I have no slide presentation.
Okay. All right. You can speak from where you are. We can all see you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Sorry, Chair. Can I just ask?
Yeah.
For clarity's sake. Is he the only person who's present from Aurora?
It would appear so.
If not, Chair, can we get a proper introduction again just to get clarity on the faces? Please.
Two things.
Okay.
You introduce the team.
I would just like to, excuse me, sir. My apologies, we do not get the opportunity to introduce ourselves. My name is Zandra Mandela, the Managing Director of Aurora Empowerment Systems. I'm also here with our co-director, Mr. Tulani Ngubane, sitting in the front. So we are present here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The second issue, do you have handouts for your presentation?
Or yeah.
Okay, this one.
No, no, sorry, Your Honorable Chairperson, there aren't any handouts. I just thought one could just discuss some of the matters that were raised and just take the committee through on, you know, just Aurora's position with regards to various aspects of the matters we're discussing.
Okay, let's do this. You say you with Aurora. Both of you seated there. And then are you the only one sitting at the back there, Mr.
Correct.
Can we switch sitting places with this gentleman here so that you are in the same, so that you can be able to consult each other easily in the process? Just switch temporarily the sitting arrangement for now. See? Oi, cameras, young seat. Okay. You are requested to occupy 1, 2, 3 seats. Please, NUM, shift to that side. Apparently, cameras are doing their work. No, it's fine. It's fine. Hey? Hey? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Please proceed.
Okay. Good morning, Your Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, members of NAM and members of Solidarity. On behalf of Aurora Empowerment Systems, we'd like to thank you for this opportunity, and we hope this opportunity can be a proactive one which could lead us to a mutual conclusion on issues and assist us in addressing all the matters that have been raised here. I would like to just, you know, briefly give an overview on the history of Aurora as a company, the history of the transaction regarding the two assets of the Pomotsi Gold, the two assets which are currently in liquidation. And I'd also like to touch on matters around the water situation, namely referred to as acid mine drainage. And we'd also expand on issues on the labor and salaries, and also discuss issues around the illegal mining activity, which may give insight to, some of the comments from Solidarity and NAM regarding theft on the operations. And, Matt again. Just a brief company overview. Aurora Empowerment Systems, we would refer to as Aurora, is a black empowerment company formed by a group of young entrepreneurs in order to harness opportunities in the resource sector in South Africa. The resources sector has been identified as a sector historically lacking transformation, with the need to expedite the imperatives of the South African government's transformation policy, and in particular compliance with the mining charter. Aurora aligns itself with the creation and advancement of the principles set out in the BEE legislative framework, in particular black ownership represented by the creation of black equity, participation and voting interest, employment equity through supervisory and management participation, which is reflective of the broader South African community, provincial procurement policies which empower previously disadvantaged service providers and allied professionals. Now, just to move directly into the history of the transaction, I would like to discuss the acquisitions at Hofley and Orkney. Aurora made a successful bid which was open to competing interests in respect of two assets which formed part of Pamotse Gold Pty Ltd, which is currently in provisional liquidation. In making the assessment of our credentials, the five joint provisional liquidators, referred to as JBL, who were appointed by the Master of the High Court and represent creditors and labor interests, had to be satisfied in terms of our ownership, management, and funding credentials. Of these credentials, funding posed the greater challenge. Like any emerging black entity, Aurora was reliant on raising capital either from a state-owned entity, such as the Industrial Development Corporation, referred to as the IDC, which had previously funded the Pamotse operation at Orkney, alternatively to look at private capital locally or abroad. Compounding matters was the economic recession, which was experienced across the globe at the time and continues to restrict capital investment. This affected the transaction in that the initial financial commitment given to us by our Malaysian funders fell through. Mindful as we were of our commitment, all parties in the transaction, we explored alternative funding offshore. After extensive engagement, interaction and due diligence, we were successful in securing funding from a Chinese gold mining company. These credentials were again presented to the JPL, who under the advice of Standard Bank or the financial advisors in the transaction expressed their satisfaction. In addition, we have engaged with the two secured creditors of the mines, which are a state-owned enterprise on the one hand, and on the other, the largest commercial bank in Europe on the other, both of whom have expressed their comfort with our partners providing the financial backing. All parties in the provisional liquidation have to satisfy the High Court that their conduct is in the best interest of all creditors, secured, unsecured, labor, and the like. Insofar as the procurement of new funders had resulted in a delay, we made representation to the High Court through the JPL outlining both the cause of the delay as well as setting out the credentials of the new funders. In the result, the court exercised its discretion, extended the provisional liquidation order based on these submissions. We anticipate that within the right time period allocated by the High Court, we would have satisfied the funding obligations. And then I would like to touch on the interim management of the mines. Aurora operates both the mine at Orkney and at Hofley in terms of an interim management agreement with the JPL. In performing its obligations in terms of the interim management agreement, the following principles and challenges present themselves. Firstly, water pumping and acid mine drainage. Aurora have inherited a problem that is over 100 years old of acid mine drainage caused by an abandoned mines in the Witwatersrand Gold Basin, one of the largest gold-bearing reefs globally. Acid mine drainage is heavily contaminated water containing primarily radioactive uranium, cadmium, lead, arsenic, and a cocktail of toxic metals. In our assessment of the mine at Hofley, we were always aware of the additional responsibility of pumping water due to the location of the mine, which sits at the end of the basin and serves as a catchment of the area for the surrounding mine's water, many of which the other mines have been decommissioned over time. the Department of Water Affairs, which will be referred to as DWAAF, has historically been under a contractual obligation to subsidize the water pumping, mindful of these facts. Initially, we commenced operations at Goedvlei. The DWAAF water subsidy was in place, which allowed us to pump water, albeit that this is not our core business activity. The pumping of water has with it the attendant of cost of labor, matters such as maintenance, security, treatment, etc., which amount to approximately 6 million rand per month. During December 2009, DWAAF terminated the subsidy on the basis that we were engaged in care and maintenance of the mine and not strict mining activity. This internally affected our cash flow, as we had included the subsidy amount in our cash flow projections, and whilst we continued negotiations with DWAAF on the matter, we began to fall behind with our payment obligations to all those involved in the pumping of water. Despite the lack of a subsidy, we continued to pump water until February 2011, when the unprecedented rainfall on the Rand meant, or rather on the Rand area, meant that we had to relocate the pump stations because of flooding. At our own expense, we have employed professionals to advise us on the water situations and have decommissioned the pumps with a view to relocating a new pump station at a level which is more appropriate. We have likewise engaged with the JPL with a view to determine whether we would receive a rebate for this unanticipated expenditure and await their response. The local Department of Labor has worked with us in liaising organized labor in an attempt to address salary backlogs which have resulted. To this end, we have been able to significantly reduce the deficit. We have appraised both the DMR and DWAAF of the impact of flooding, of the impact that flooding would have on the mine itself, the environment, as well as the surrounding communities. Whilst we engage in the pumping of water in Orkney, this is currently on a low and manageable scale. Now, I would like to move on to the illegal mining activities. The problem of illegal mining, particularly on the East Rand, is an endemic in the gold mining sector. Ruthless organized syndicates operate with impunity and use poor foreign nationals largely in the conduct of their activities to plunder the mine of its resources. This has caused our tremendous financial strain, and that additional security has to be employed in order to preserve the asset. In the past year alone, there have been 1,483 cases of theft that have been registered by Aurora with the local SAPS and Springs, with whom we work closely in order to rid the mine of the scourge and ensure that the mine and our employees remain secure. Sadly, the problem of theft is not limited to illegal mining activity alone, but includes some of our own employees against whom we likewise have had to act decisively, and this has caused our relationship with labor to be strained. Let me just indicate that I would just like to finish by saying that Aurora itself remains committed to honoring its obligations responsibly and in accordance with the regulatory requirements. Your Honourable Chairperson, I would like to indicate that on that basis, I've ended the presentation.
You were going to touch in your earlier indication on the problem of the lack of payment of salaries. Can you throw some light in that regard?
I would like to pass it on to my Court Director, Mr. Tulangubane. Thank you.
Thank you, the Chairperson of the House. With regard to the issue of salaries, as my co-director has alluded to it, 80% of what we are owing to our workers has been paid. The only thing that delays the process is that we are unable to pay directly to our workers, not via the Department of Labor, because we have to comply to the order that the Department of Labor has issued to us. So currently there is an order that they need to present to us in 2 weeks' time. They are still busy screening the names and the legitimate of the claims that had been made by workers, because what has happened here is that there are workers which they've claimed to work for Aurora, which were ex-promotee employees, which were still in the process of going to be recalled by Aurora, which were not, and they also had to jump into the moving work when and actually do the claims. Do the claims where they said we are owing them money, and it's not the case. So Department of Labor is busy scrutinizing the list, and then they'll present it to us. Immediately when they present the list to us, we always pay, according to what is expected of us. The people whom we paid even last year, luckily they are here in the house. They are the witness to say that we have paid them their salaries, to themselves.
Yours is to... No, Mamelini noted down. That was the agreement. Continue. Are you done?
Chair, I'm done.
Just for us to have absolute clarity. You say you're paying via the Department of Labor. Can you quantify their claims in the public domain that you've paid out 5 million rand to the Department of Labor? Can you quantify how much have you paid, but also give us an expose into the future so that when we come back ask you questions, you must have covered.
Thank you, sir.
Have you heard the question?
Yes, I've heard the question.
The two parts?
I've heard the question.
Okay.
So, thank you, Chair. With regards to the number crunching exercise, at this point in time, I would not be able to give exact proper figure, but on my knowledge that in Springs, we have cleared all the NUM members. We are left with no outstanding salaries in Springs with regards to NUM members. And then also in Orkney, if I were to be stand for correction...
Clarify Springs, is it the Grootvlei mine?
Grootvlei mine.
Yes,
and also in Orkney, we have paid well over 80% of the salary that is outstanding with regard to the Orkney operation.
The future? We've asked you to give us an expose into what are your future plans.
With regards to the salaries?
Yes.
Well, our plans is that because of the situation that we are into, we are unable, as I said, that we need everything that we need to do, we have to do it through via Department of Labor. Already, we are in possession of the monies, to be handed over to Department of Labor immediately when they are ready with the document that
they are still busy trying to check the authenticity of the names of the people that are on those claims. Once that process is done, then we will be in the position to pay whatever is outstanding.
Thank you very much. Because we have agreed that we will listen to all of you and then take questions, we will follow that line. But let me appeal to you that what you are telling us, it would have much weight if it is reduced in writing. And if you haven't got it now, if you've got it now, we can ask our support system to basically go and reproduce copies. But if it is not in a typed form, you will indicate to us how are you going to get it through to us. Okay, thank you very much. Can we then get, with questions being noted down, can we get the Department of Mineral Resources? But before we do that, we are told that tea is ready outside. Let's take strictly 10 minutes. No more than 10 minutes. Thank you very much.
There's been a couple sort of floating around, but I don't have any left lying around here.